Isaiah chapter 9. There will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, God humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honour Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Thank you, Jane. And now Helen Dunstan's going to read our second reading from the letter to Titus.
The second reading is taken from Titus 3, verses 4 to 7. When the kindness and love of God, our Saviour, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Saviour, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's just pray for Helen Suarez as she comes to speak. Father, we ask for your spirit to be poured out on Helen, and as you blessed her in her preparation, we pray that you would guide her words and help us to be receptive hearers. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Over to Helen.
As we come to the end of Advent and the end of the year 2020, I was drawn most powerfully to the verse in Isaiah 9:2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. The chapter, however, begins with, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. I like the word nevertheless. Matthew Henry writes that in the worst of times, God's people have a nevertheless to allay and balance their troubles, and it is a matter of comfort to us. When things are at the darkest, that he, who forms the light and creates the darkness, has appointed to both their bounds and sets the one over and against the other. It made me think of our current circumstances, surrounded by COVID-19, which seems to be the constant elephant in the room and the prevailing deep darkness in the back of our minds. But verse 2 speaks of light. Indeed, a great light. I looked again at the Isaiah passages that the three promises given, with which it is suggested we can comfort ourselves in every cloud and dark day. Firstly, verse 2, a glorious light which shall by degrees dispel the dimness. Secondly, verse 3, a glorious increase and a universal joy arising from it. And thirdly, in verses 4 and 5, a glorious liberty and enlargement. But it was the great light that gripped my attention. And I was reminded of John 8:12, where Jesus said of himself, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What does Jesus mean this to be for us in our everyday lives? I thought I would look up some quotations relating to light. Demi Lovato, American musician, said, no matter what you're going through, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and it may seem hard to get to it, but you can do it. And just keep working towards it and you'll find the positive side of things. I thought to myself, the phrase, the light at the end of the tunnel, had been used a lot recently to depict the arrival of a working COVID vaccine, which was indeed an answer to prayer, and which has actually been rolled out and gives us hope to see the end of what has dominated 2020. Then my husband reminded me of the quote by an American poet, Robert Lowell, the light at the end of the tunnel is just the light of an oncoming train. And the following week, the mutated strain of the virus was announced with escalating cases and more severe restrictions, and our immediate hopes were once again deferred. I found more quotes. Plato, a Greek philosopher, over 400 years before Christ, wrote, we can easily forgive a child who is afraid of the dark. The real tragedy of life is when men are afraid of the light. And Aristotle, the Greek philosopher, writing over 300 years before Christ, wrote, it is during our darkest moments that we must focus to see the light. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who was an American psychologist in the last century, said, people are like stained glass windows. They sparkle and shine when the sun is out, but when the darkness sets in, their true beauty is revealed only if there is a light from within. I thought this is so true. Sometimes we are afraid to come to Jesus, the light of life. Sometimes we don't focus on Jesus, the true light. And often we only radiate Christian joy when things are going well and show little of the love of Jesus when the darkness sets in. Desmond Tutu, the South African leader, said, hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness. And Helen Keller, the American author who was born deaf, dumb, and blind, said, faith is the strength by which a shattered world shall emerge into the light. In my time of prayer, I took all this to Jesus and asked him to help me understand. He reminded me that he was not the light at the end of the tunnel, nor was he the light from the oncoming train, which will pass and we can step aside. But he is the light in the tunnel. He is with us always, a fact of which I need constantly to be reminded. He also reminded me that what we're celebrating at Christmas is that he came to live amongst us. He is Emmanuel, God, with us, not just something to look forward to, but a real hope now in time of trouble. So Jesus said he would be to us the light of life. He tells us that his word is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. He is our wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Our life in him brings us an overflowing joy and a peace that is beyond our understanding, if only, and more frequently, we stop and wait and turn our gaze upon him and not on our circumstances, the more of the light of life we can experience. Our passage from Titus 3, verses 4 to 7 in the Message version says, "But when God, our kind and loving Saviour, stepped in, he saved us from all of that. It was all his doing. We had nothing to do with it. He gave us a good bath, and we came out of it new people, washed inside and out by the Holy Spirit. Our Saviour Jesus poured out new life so generously. God's gift has restored our relationship with him and given us back our lives. And there's more life to come, an eternity of life. You can count on this." I'll just read one last quote from Adam Hamilton, an American clergyman. He says, "God seeks to influence humanity. This is at the heart of the Christmas story. It is the story of light coming into the darkness, of a saviour to show us the way, of light overcoming the darkness, of God's work to save the world." Thank you.